Hi, this is Martin Medeiros with Negotiation Strategist Research, and as you know, I stand for the proposition that we communicate our needs to the world using negotiation, and how effective we are at communicating those needs determine if we achieve our needs. Negotiation is agency. Negotiation is freedom. You can control it. Hi, this is Martin Medeiros with Negotiation Strategist Research, and in this lesson, we're going to talk about identity. As you know, I stand for the proposition that we communicate our needs to the world using negotiation, and how well we do at communicating those needs determines if our needs are actually met. The three systems are strategic systems, things we do beforehand in the negotiation, tactical things, things we do at the negotiation, and finally, operationally, things external to the negotiation. One of the operational factors I talk about is identity. This has to do with who I am as a person, what I look like, race, gender, all those things that make up my identity, and how they impact being human in a negotiation. We may think ideally we are all created equal and that we're given the same ear and the same logic, and that's not always the case. A lot of this has to do with studies done whereby people who look just like us, we generally assign a lot of virtues to them, unproven virtues. For example, if I'm looking at a male with dark hair and who's about my height, I'm going to think he's more honest, higher IQ, smart, all these virtues that I don't know simply because he looks like me or he's, quote, from my, at least, physical tribe. So emotional intelligence is something we want to work on to communicate better. Gender, race, nationality, socioeconomics all determine their filters on how we see the world because we have eyes and ears, and that's part of being human. So some of the tests they've done on how to determine whether or not this is a phenomenon is when in the gender area, I speak in front of many women's executive groups, and one of the things that I hear often is the same exact words elicit a very different reaction based on gender, and identical ideas may be ignored by the first speaker and adopted by leadership by the second. And the action item here for leadership is inclusion, and if you are not in leadership, you can basically draw attention to it. And we'll talk a little bit about how to do that in this. There are two researchers I want to bring your attention to, and I'm going to do horribly on their names, but let's just call them Geiner and Ibora. There's a few other researchers, but what they talk about is negotiation and high complexity and the role of gender in that. And basically, the more complex the negotiation, the more ambiguity is increased and the more gender influences that negotiation. Whereas in a what they call an androgynous negotiation, where it's kind of gender neutral, integrative behavior is the type of negotiation. So if you read my materials, you know that there's different types of negotiation. Integrative negotiation is the contemporary side. It's about finding the objectives of people. It's about inclusion, looking for the best case scenario. I hate the word, but win-win. If you can walk away from the negotiation where everyone gets what they want, ideal. Probably won't happen, but the best way parties can get together where their needs are met, their objective needs are met, is something that the integrative approach does. Kind of Fisher and Ruri Getting to Yes, book from the, I think, 80s, late 70s, you should read. And They also looked at the masculine stereotype. So the masculine stereotype of negotiation is very competitive, you know, kind of bullet point driven, win-loser binary. You can think of a mercantilist system in economics. And this competitive behavior can work for certain dynamics, but for cooperative agreements where you require people's cooperation over time, long-term service contracts, coalitions, legislation being passed, that competitive behavior does not work. The binary does not work. And you can see this, you know, right now, political parties in the United States are a little bit polarized. You can see that this competitive it's a misnomer, but everyone is having this very competitive, stereotypically masculine negotiation style of what, you know, Gunnar and Ivora call this style. And it's not good for long-term cooperation deals. And this is something that we learn that, you know, tribalism seems universal. And when we look at that competitive nature in negotiation, we want to have certain things to cross that identity barrier to make negotiations go better based on a focus on each party's needs. And how do we do that? If you find that someone of an identity's ideas are downgraded and adopted later on, you as a participant in the negotiation can, what I call, lead the universal tribe. Yeah, tribalism may be universal on the planet, but you can lead this universal tribe of Homo sapiens. How do you do that? It's something I call enfranchisement. It's if someone says the same thing, you can say, hey, and the second person said it, and the leadership says, hey, that's a great idea, when it was already said, you can say, hey, that's a great idea, and it either echoes or builds upon the idea of, insert name, a first person here who said it. And that's the way to get that person recognition and give a signal of leadership that say, hey, that person is worthy, they had a good idea, we should reward them because we're all part here. Now, if it's a identity attack, which happens in negotiation, I've been involved in many, you're going to have to use a very powerful tactical tool, which is the question. And we're going to ask. One thing we're going to do is ask the person, what did they say? Two things will happen. They'll either double down and say it again, or they'll think a minute and rephrase it. Now, if they double down, you can just say, what makes you say that? And then they hopefully will have an explanation. And if their logic is flawed, say, well, what makes you reach that conclusion? Again, I'm just asking questions. I'm not offering an opinion. I'm making them defend their position. And finally, you can end with, what does that have to do with the negotiation or what I just said? And you will find out these identity attacks kind of melt away because there's really no substantive to them. They have nothing to do with negotiation. They have all about the people and maybe some personal issue. And that's a little bit about how to deal with identity in a negotiation. And the takeaways today are understand that we are, Homo sapiens are tribal, and we're part of this worldwide tribe. But what I'm asking negotiators who I train to do is to lead that universal tribe. How do you do it? By enfranchising people. And if the behavior is a little bit irrational, a little bit nasty, start questioning. And questioning makes us focus on the needs of the negotiation, the substance, the objective criteria of the negotiation, and away from some of these biases and difficulties that do come up in a negotiation. This is Martin Medeiros with Negotiation Strategist Research. Thank you for listening.